Welcome to Utah Public Radio's Eating the Past and Other Tasty Morsels, a show that explores all things food.
Your hosts are Jeannie Sir, Jamie Sanders, and Tammy Proctor, all from the History Department at Utah State University.
I'm Jeannie Sir, and today we are talking about pizza. We are joined by Dan McInerney, Emeritus Professor of History, and Alex Reese, staff member of the Utah State History Department and a graduate of the department with an MA in Ancient Languages and Cultures. They will be cooking and presenting in our fall video cooking series on November 18th for a presentation called Eating the Past, The Battle of the Crust.
I'm Jamie Sanders. So usually when we debate pizza, we are talking about marinara versus a cream sauce, home cooking in the oven or on the grill, or New York versus Chicago. Of course, the correct answers are marinara, on the grill, and New York.
Jamie, Chicago style is not pizza.
Agreed. But today we are debating modern pizza versus classical Italian pizza. And not classical like Neapolitan, but classical as in ancient Rome. Alex and Dan, tell us about the differences.
Well, the thing about pizza in ancient Rome is that there wasn't much like what the modern diner would recognize as pizza. In a world before the Columbian Exchange, Rome was without the tomato and thus tomato-based sauces. Many of the Roman breads were also made of few ingredients. Think water, flour, and oil, which made the breads and doughs really heavy for the most part. The closest thing to pizza would be the occasional flatbread of sorts. We'll be making one from Othonius made of spelt flour and topped with honey and feta. Another dish resembling the pizza we're going to make is the placenta. Don't worry, it isn't that kind of placenta. This is a dish from Cato's De Agricultura and is really something more like a hybrid of a calzone and a baklava. So the ancient Roman pizzas are remarkably different from the modern pizzas of today.
Alex reminds us that there were many types of ancient Roman flatbreads, not just the kinds that these two historians recorded. My segment is going to travel further south and it's going to focus on Sicilian pizza. And there too, as someone who's half Italian and who learned to cook with his Sicilian immigrant grandparents in Brooklyn in the 1950s, I know that the quest for a single, authentic Sicilian pizza is just a fool's errand. The pizza we had can be traced back to a delicious Sicilian street food that's known as sfincione. But there's no one way Sicilians make pizza. Of course, there's no one way they do anything. A sfincione in Palermo is different from one 11 miles away in Bagheria. And it's different again in my grandparents' hometown in Agrigento. Even modern food masters who yearn for authenticity in their recipes, they simply don't agree on what goes into a genuine sfincione. They all say it resembles focaccio, but after that the arguments break out.
Dan and Alex, can you tell us if there's any information about the historical pizza that really surprised you? And if there are any styles, toppings, or unique recipes that listeners should try?
You know, the story of ancient or modern pizza strikes me as a wonderful example of a core historical concept, the way we study change over time. Food preparation is rarely static. It's a dynamic, ever-changing subject. It shifts not only across time, but also within a particular moment, in different regions, with different economic conditions, with lifelong residents or generations of immigrants, whether you learn from your Nana's kitchen in Bensonhurst or from a recipe book by Marcella Hazan. And what's the best pizza you've ever had? That's probably as much the product of a fond memory as it is of a precise recipe.
As Dan mentioned, these recipes certainly demonstrate how much can change over time. After testing and sampling these recipes, I can confirm that they are not suited to my modern palate. These are really heavy recipes, one because of the massive amount of cheese and the other because of the dense spelt dough. Like the Romans seem to prefer, I do enjoy honey on my pizza.
Sincere thanks to Dan McInerney and Alex Reese. Tune in on Zoom on Thursday, November 18th at 7 p.m. Mountain Time for the cooking demonstration and discussion. The link will be available at the USU History Department website at history.usu.edu. And please visit upr.org to listen to all of our past episodes.
Support for UPR's Eating the Past comes from Love to Cook, a kitchen store offering kitchen appliances, tools, cooking classes, private events, and knife sharpening. Information on Instagram at Love to Cook Logan. And USU Dining Services, always working to create an excellent college experience for students, faculty, and staff. Now 13 locations open around campus. More details at usu.edu/dining.